Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We've been having quite a few discussions around the new regulations in terms of meat. So yesterday we spoke about things like boerewors. You can't call boerewors unless it's got, I don't know, 90% meat. Sausages are 75%, bangers and mash, I don't know, whatever that would have been. And obviously there's a certain amount of value in this, because it means that there's clarity with regard to a description. If, say, if you're buying boerewors, you know what it is. But there's also another whole side to the story, and we wanted to understand a little bit more. Donovan Will is the country director at ProVeg South Africa. What about the whole fake meat legislation? What about the fact, what about the vegetarian industry? How is that impacted by these regulations? Donovan, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm great. And yourself?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. So how does this play into, or how does the vegetarian industry segment of the market play into all of this?
Well, it's really interesting, because the regulations that the department has been talking about specifically actually exclude the meat analog products. So Regulation 1283, it specifically says in the scope section that this regulation doesn't apply to vegan and vegetarian products. And last year, interestingly, the department asked stakeholders if we thought new regulations were required. And the vast majority of respondents, 85% of people who responded to that call for comments, said that we did need new regulations. So that's where we're at the moment for ProVeg South Africa. We're really hoping that the government will focus more on drafting these new regulations, which we completely agree are needed, rather than using some regulations that weren't ever meant for vegetarian or vegan products.
So what would be the ideal outcome for you, for the vegetarian or vegan industry?
Well, I think the ideal outcome would be the drafting of these new regulations. Mm-hmm. And I think it shouldn't even be a very difficult process. If we look around the world, we do have regulations that make a lot of sense in a lot of places. And this industry, a lot of people seem to think that it's very new. And in many ways, it is new. If you think about the size of the industry compared to the meat industry, and if you think about the fact that many people in South Africa haven't heard of these meat analog products. But when we look around the world, these analog products have been around literally for thousands of years in Asia. But if we look in Europe and America, these products have been on the shelf for a long time. And even in South Africa, the Fry Family Food Co's have had veggie burgers on the shelf for over 30 years. And so the regulations do exist around the world, and the arguments, the debate about what naming convention should be used have been had. And that doesn't mean that we have to follow the precedent set in other countries, but it means that the rationale from both sides is there, and we can go and look at it. And to us, it's very clear what we should be trying to do here is protect the consumer and protect businesses from unfair practice. And for us, as long as it's very clear that these products are vegetarian or vegan or meat-free or plant-based, then no one is being prejudiced. And like you said earlier, it's very important that we have regulations. You don't want to go and buy a beef burger and find out there's only 10% beef in there.
Correct.
And in the same way, no one's trying to pretend that these products are meat products. I think that would be a problem, and I think that's what the government is trying to imply, that vegetarian and vegan food manufacturers are trying to pass these off as meat. And that's definitely not the case. If we look in South Africa, if you look on the front of the labels on any product in a major retailer, they say vegetarian, meat-free, you know, plant-based, and no one's being misled.
So is the argument around using the word, for example, burger and boerewors when it doesn't conform to the regulations. Is that really where the actual conflict exists?
Well, there's two big things that we are hearing from the department. The first one is that there are regulations and we have to follow the regulations. And the second one is that in terms of the APS Act, is that these products are misleading. So we really battle to agree with either of those two points. You know, there's no point in enforcing a regulation just for the point of enforcing the regulation if there's no problem actually being caused. And then in terms of being misleading, we don't believe that anyone is being misled, and we've asked the department to provide any sort of evidence they have that people are being misled, and they don't have that either. So it really looks like the department is using a lot of resources to solve a problem that actually doesn't exist.
It's almost creating a problem, because really if somebody is buying a vegetarian burger, they know what they're buying and they're choosing to buy it. I find it very difficult to believe that people really, that we're that stupid. It's actually such a bizarre thing how little credit is given to consumers. You know, we actually not as doff as the regulation seems to make us think we are.
Yeah, so I mean, that's definitely something that's been discussed a lot. And, you know, that's why a lot of people are saying that this is clearly the meat industry lobby trying to bring a war upon plant-based foods. I mean, we don't have any specific evidence of that, but what other rational explanation is there for the government spending this much time and effort on something that doesn't seem to have any real utility? And like you said, if you actually think about it, if someone is looking for a burger and they're looking for a veggie burger, and even in some of these cases, you know, there's a whole scale of between, you know, using the word veggie burger all the way down, like you said earlier, something like boerewors, which is a lot more complicated because there's a lot more regulation. But if someone is like myself, grew up eating meat, grew up eating chicken, you know, if I'm now trying to eat more plant-based or vegetarian or vegan for health reasons or environmental reasons or ethical reasons, but I'm looking for a burger that mimics the taste and texture of a chicken burger, how can I find that if we're not allowed to call it a chicken flavor or a chicken style burger? And if it's called a vegetarian chicken style burger or a meat free chicken style burger, we don't believe anyone's being confused. No. But it would be very confusing for manufacturers to try and find new wording to use to label these products.
And I would imagine that there's been a tremendous amount of time and effort using the words, because in fact people that are sensitive to this and would like to eat vegetarian foods that as you say mimic the taste, well, they actually want to be quite clear that they're not eating meat. So it actually works in both directions, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I think that's a very good point. And if we look at the moment in South Africa, if we look at where these products are merchandised in store, they're also almost entirely in the vegan freezer or in a plant-based freezer or in the vegetarian section. And so there really has been a lot done to make sure that people can find these products. No one is making a vegetarian product and going and hiding it somewhere where the vegetarians and vegans and flexitarians can't find it.
What was that last one that you just said?
Flexitarians.
No, you see, now there's a new word. I can't. You know how hard it is for me to understand the difference between everything. What is that one? What is that?
So flexitarians actually probably right now are one of the most important consumer groups.
And thanks Donovan. Now you're making me feel bad because I've never heard of them.
It's the people who are actively trying to cut back on how much meat they eat, but they're not going full vegan or full vegetarian.
Ah.
And when we look at consumption patterns around the world, it's actually this group that's causing the biggest decrease in the total amount of meat that's being eaten. And this makes sense because for a lot of people, you know, the message that we send out is not necessarily that everyone needs to go vegan or vegetarian. But the message is that from a climate point of view and from a health point of view, in South Africa at least, we're definitely eating more meat than we should be on a per capita basis. So I think in the past, a lot of people have seen, you know, when they hear about a vegan or a vegetarian, they think that these people are trying to come and take away our meat. But the reality is that the world would be a better place if the average person, the person who's currently eating meat every meal, every dinner, every lunch, cuts back a bit and tries to eat some of these meat analog products, or just tries to eat more vegetables and beans and legumes and, you know, whole food, plant-based.
And those people are called?
Yeah, flexitarians.
Flexitarians. Now we've all learned something.
Yeah.
It is 8:44. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. That was Donovan Will, Country Director at ProVeg South Africa.